Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد esteemed listeners of Sirius FM مركز الصحابة the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة we welcome you to this program الفقه على المذاهب الأربعة jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought today's date is the 22nd of Safar 1443 corresponding to the date 30th September 2021. Our topic today is Imam al-A'zam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And remember to send your queries, your questions to 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, send to +278-786-3132. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia with us in studio today. Hadrat Mufti Abdul Qadir. Damat barakatuh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You have queries 084-786-3132. Overseas listeners +27 84 786 3132, inshallah.
Before we get to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Mufti Sahib, can you please explain to us what is the importance of fiqh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu Allahu alayhi wa sallam. In chapter number 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 122, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافًا. It does not behove and befit the Muslims, all of them go out one time to fight the enemy or whatever the case might be. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ. So why not from every big group? They should be ta'ifa, a small group. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. These are the key words we need to underline, underscore them, understand them. That small group will go and make effort to understand and the deep, profound meaning of deen. Tafaqquh fi deen. Tafaqquh does not mean to scratch the surface. Tafaqquh means to go and plunge and dive into the ocean of knowledge. And remember, knowledge is bahrun la sahila lahu. It is that ocean that never ever gets finished, because remember Allah says وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every person who has knowledge, there's someone else who has greater, greater, greater. And it goes back to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And then when you have imbibed and acquired this knowledge, وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَوْا إِلَيْهِمْ, then you go back to their people and you warn them with love and compassion. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. So that they refrain, abstain from the kufr, the shirk, the blasphemy, polytheism, nifaq, hypocrisy, all the haram things. So chapter number 9, verse 122 will give us a guideline there. And one hadith sharif from Bukhari sharif, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is a reporter, the rawi of that hadith. He states that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا. For whosoever Almighty Allah has decreed goodness, that person by Allah will become beloved and maqbool and he'll be accepted. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Then Almighty Allah grants him the deep and profound understanding of deen. So therefore, there are so many ahadiths on this topic, but this will suffice. So remember that fiqh is something we need to continue with, understanding the beauty, the glory of our deen in its pristine purity, without being apologetic and without compromising the deen and the religion of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what is the significance of the four imams?
Remember that first and foremost, our point of reference will be the Quran Sharif. That is the direct speech of Almighty Allah. It was, it is, it is always be the greatest miracle of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'jizat Kubra. Then remember chapter 15 verse 9, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa innahu lahu وإنا له لحافظون. Surely we reveal the reminder, the Quran Sharif, and surely we will preserve it, protect it. No addition, no omission, no interpolation. And it's only for the Quran Sharif. All the previous books and scriptures, their additions and their omissions, interpolations, they also will tell you about it and accept it. So that is the Quran Sharif. Number 2, chapter 16, verse 44. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We reveal to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Sharif, so that you explain to the people in detail مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, what was revealed to them, وَلَأَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and so that they will be the ones that wonder, ponder, reflect. So first Quran Sharif, then the Sunnah Mubarakah, the Ahadith Mubarakah, then the Fatawa, verdicts of Sahaba. Chapter 9, verse number 100. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. So the first and the foremost among Sahaba, the Muhajirin, the migrants, the Ansar, and those who follow them immaculately with sincerity. So for them there's success. And thereafter, chapter 31, Surah Luqman, verse 15. Almighty Allah states, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, and you follow the path of those who turn towards me. So this is the hierarchy we have. Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, the beloved Sahaba, companions, Awliyaullah, Imams, and so forth and so on. So remember, some simple Simon people, they will tell you where in the Quran Hadith is written you must follow Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So I gave you chapter 31, verse 15. Second one is this, remember that before that there were greater jurors, greater than Imam Abu Hanifa, greater than Imam Shafi, greater than Imam Malik. There's no question about that, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and so forth and so on. But they did not have a fiqh that was codified, that had all the chapters you must remember, from Kitab al-Tahara, the chapter of cleanliness, right through across the spectrum and the board, right till Kitab al-Miras, till the chapter of inheritance. So Allah Jalla Wala selects whoever he wants to. So Almighty Allah selected these four schools of jurisprudence, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, and that remained, and their students, mashallah, they carried on with it. So that is the distinction that Almighty Allah, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, Allah Ta'ala's grace, he grants to whomsoever he wishes. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, was a genius. He made a very profound statement. And remember, if you want the reference of this, you will find it in Irshadul Qari, that the introduction to Bukhari Sharif by Mufti Rashid Ahmad Ludhianvi, rahimahullah, whom we met several times in Karachi, Pakistan. He said, and he mentioned the saying of Al-Imam Shafi'i, جَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ الْأَئِمَّةِ, whatever the Imam say, that is the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Ambalis, جَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ الْأَئِمَّةِ is elaboration, explanation of the Sunnah. وَجَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ السُنَّةِ, and whatever the Sunnah teaches us, that is قَوْلُ النَّبِي فَعْلُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, the speech Mubarak of the Master عليه السلام, the action of the Master عليه السلام, تَقْرِيرُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, the tacit approval, something was done, something was said in the presence of the Master عليه السلام, and he remained silent, the Master. So you call that in Arabic taqreer, with a qaf, taqreerun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in English the tacit approval. So remember, though that will come, and the fuqaha, the jurists will explain that. And Imam Shafi even said this in Kitabul Janais, it's mentioned, you must remember, that in Tirmidhi Sharif, al-fuqaha'u a'alamu bima'ani al-hadith. The fuqaha and the jurists, they know the deeper meaning, the profound meaning of the hadith. So Imam Shafi said, جَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى إِمَّا شَرْحُ لِسُنَّةِ وَجَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُوا أَسُنَّةِ شَرْحُ لِلْقُرْآنِ. And the Sunnah came to elaborate and explain the Noble Quran. So all are interlinked and intertwined, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Mufti Sahib, about Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi, where was he born and where did he pass away?
So you must remember, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimullah was born in the year 80 after Hijrah, and all this happened there in Kufa, Iraq and so forth. And remember, he passes away in the year 150. Hada min fadli Rabbi, again, this is the mercy and grace of Almighty Allah. I went to all four great Imams, they are Mubarak Kubur and Mazar Mubarak. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimahullah, where he is buried, so that area now is called A'zamiyah. During his lifetime, it was not called A'zamiyah. So this is Karamat Ba'da Wafatihi. After he passed away, because his one title was Imam A'zam, Imam Shafi Rahimahullah said, An-nasu iyalun li Abi Hanifata fil fiqh. The people are the children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh. So therefore, are to honor him, the people there, the ulama, the scholars, the leaders said, A'zamiyah. So one day if you go to Iraq, mashallah, you will find he's buried there. Imam Shafi Rahimullah is buried there in Cairo, in Egypt. Imam Malik Rahimullah in Baqi, the famous cemetery in Medina Munawwara. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal next to the Tigris River. So Alhamdulillah, all four we went. So that is where he's buried. And remember, Imam Abu Hanifa from the four schools is the only one who's a Tabi'i. The others are Tabi Tabi'i and so forth. Tabi'i means that the person who saw the Sahaba, the beloved students, companions of Nabi alayhi salam, or met them and so forth. So majority scholars accept this, that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he met Anas bin Malik radiallahu anh. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anh was in Iraq, and he passed away, you must remember, in the year 93, when Imam Abu Hanifa was 13 years old. Some muhaddisin even say that Imam, that Hazrat Anas bin Malik, the great Sahabi, the special khadim khas, the special attendant of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, who lived for 10 years with Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina Munawwara, he taught Imam Abu Hanifa the hadith, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim, that to acquire and imbibe this knowledge, remember, is farz and compulsory upon every Muslim. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif as well. So definitely he is a Tabi'i, and he met Sahaba even beside Anas bin Malik, but anyway, that proves the point. Another thing you should know about Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, that he is, his name Nu'man bin Thabit. His name Nu'man, his father's name Thabit, Nu'man bin Thabit. Abu Hanifa, people make a lot of stories and fairy tales. Sometimes you find even ulama writing this Mal Asafi Shadid, very sad but true. So why was his kunya Hanifa? People say he had a daughter by the name of Hanifa, all that is not authentic. So why Abu Hanifa? You must remember, Quran Kareem teaches us, فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا, that you must follow the religion of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that is إبراهيم حنيفة. So حنيفة means يُتْمَائِلٌ أَنِ الْأَدْيَانِ الْبَاطِلَ إِلَى الدِّينِ الْحَقِّ. You turn away from all the false ideologies and you come towards the truth. So Imam Abu Hanifa's kunya means ignorant, that is Abu Hanifa. So that is the rajih and the preferred reason.
Mufti Sahib, who was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's teachers?
His greatest teacher was Imam Hammad. You must remember that when you study the seerah and life history and biography of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, you will know he studied by Hammad. And Hammad stayed by him. Today we just study 5, 6, 7 years and we think we big ulama, Allah forbid, and so forth. Therefore I always say, many a time this title titles did deceive us. He stayed in the khidmah, in the service, and learned by his teacher Imam Hamad 18 years. So remember, he was a tajir. He was a big businessman. Sahibul Qumash, he used to sell material fabric. And he dedicated his life to all this. And he spent, I have the book, Tariqul A'zamiya. In there it's written how much he loved Imam Hamad, his honorable teacher. Between him, in Tariqul A'zamiya, the book is written, between the house where Imam Abu Hanifa used to stay and where his teacher Imam Hamad rahimahullah used to stay, baini wa bainahu sab'aturuq, there were seven roads, seven paths, like, you know. He, Imam Abu Hanifa, says, not one day can I remember I stretched out my feet in the direction of the house of my teacher. That is what you call adab. That is what you call ihtiram. Love for the teacher, respect for the teacher, even when the teacher is not there. So remember, ma faza man faza illa bil adabi. The sha'ir, the poet, says, no one will be successful except if you learn adab and respect. Ma faza man faza illa bil adabi. Wa ma saqata man saqata illa bi su'il adabi. Wa ma saqata man saqata illa bi su'il adabi. When people fail and they don't make it and so forth, many a time the reason is their disrespect for their teachers, their elders, and so forth and so on. So that is Imam Abu Hanifa's greatest teacher. And you must remember that if you want the sanad, if you want the chain of the Hanafi fiqh, then you will find Abu Hanifa rahimahullah reports from whom? Hamad. Hamad reports from who? Ibrahim Nakhi. So Imam Abu Hanifa, Hamad, Ibrahim Nakhi, he reports from Alqama and Aswad. They are both the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, I'll give you his incident now, then to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, the Hanafi fiqh is called Fiqhu Ahlil Iraq. Therefore, in Tirmidhi, you will find many places, he says, in several places, وَقَالَ أَهَلُ الْكُوفَةِ وَقَالَ بَعْضُ أَهَلِ الْكُوفَةِ. Most of the time, it refers to the Hanafi school. Not everywhere, but 90%, 80%, it refers to the Hanafi school. So the Iraqi people, the people of Kufa, and so forth and so on. It was the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and the people of Iraq came and they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we need a faqih, a jurist, we need a muhaddis and scholar that is par excellence. So fine, after Mashura, so forth, who you want? They said, we want Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Subhanallah. He is the biggest, one of the biggest muftis. I need him here. They pleaded and begged him, Sayyidina Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu eventually had accepted their plea and their request and told them, Atharatukum ala nafsi. I give your preference over myself. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud goes, remember, this is time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And he settles there for a long period, and sometimes 100, sometimes 500, sometimes 1,000, sometimes 4,000 people used to attend the dars, the lesson of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Now obviously, if 4,000 people are listening to me nowadays, it's nothing surprising. You got 4 million people, you got 40 million in some parts of the world, some people are listening to others and so forth. So today with technology, but in those days, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, so how they would learn? So imla used to take place. The first group, remember, would take from the teacher, then they would dictate to the second group, second to the third, third to the fourth, and lo and behold, the knowledge would be passed on, conveyed like that. So that is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Eventually, he came back to Medina Munawwara, he passes away there. So he is the faqih and the jurist of this ummah. So therefore, you will find in the hadith kitab, many of the Hanafi proofs and evidence, they come via Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So that is the golden chain of the Hanafis, that Imam Abu Hanifa from Hamad, Hamad from Ibrahim Nakhi, they from Alqama and Aswad, and then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu warda from Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mufti Sahib, who was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi?
today's students?
The most famous students are these four or five students of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimahullah. He had thousands of teachers, thousands of students and so forth. They would go to the Akabir, they would go to the elders, they would go to the Muasir, to people in their rank and state, and you know, the same rank black. They would go to the Asagir, they would go to the juniors also, to imbibe and acquire this knowledge. They never ever felt shy, remember that. So if you take the Hanafi fiqh, the greatest teacher, student of Imam Abu Hanifa, the greatest student is who? Yaqub bin Ibrahim. Who is Yaqub bin Ibrahim? Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. His story, incident, very interesting. Lo and behold, he is very young, 6-7 years old, around there. His father passes away, he's yatim. Now what to do? There's livelihood, lot of issues. So the mother said, you must go and work at some place. Children, he went this way, that way. He saw madrasa, he sat there. He found the madrasa interesting. 2-3 days, he didn't go to work. That employer was furious. He came there and told Imam Abu Yusuf's mother, I employed him because, you know, on grounds of compassion, no work, no pay. So I won't pay him now. So mother said, where you went? He said, madrasa. So she also was upset. Imam Abu Hanifa was a genius. In that 2-3 days, he already saw that this person has got latent talent. This latent talent means that he can see firasat of a Muslim, that this person's talent is hidden, you know. But if we just polish him a little bit up, he will become a genius. So he said, fine, you stay here by me and I'll pay you. The teacher paying the student. So you don't have to worry of income. He was a very wealthy person. He stayed by Imam Abu Hanifa for 17, 18 years. So much so, his loyalty, dedication, when his son passed away, Imam Abu Yusuf's son passed away. The same time the dars and the lesson was going on of Imam Abu Hanifa, he told the family, you'll do everything. You'll do the ghusl, the bathing. You'll do the takfeen and the shrouding. Everything you'll do. When is janaza time, you call me and I will just be part of the janaza and then I'll come back. So I don't miss the lesson of Imam Abu Hanifa. That is what you call loyalty, dedication and so forth. And so on. So remember that. So sometimes a teacher says certain words to his beloved student. One day Imam Abu Hanifa told Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, Yaqub bin Ibrahim was his name, that you will become such a star that even the rulers of the time, they will call you and feed you. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah passes away, and now it is the Abbasid dynasty at its peak. Harun Rashid is the Khalifa. He invites Imam Abu Yusuf. He's the Qazi al-Quzat, the first chief justice in the history of Islam. And then they're having discussion and royal banquet. He takes the pistachio and so forth and he starts peeling it and starts giving it to Imam Abu Yusuf. Fabaka Abu Yusuf, Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, starts crying. So he said, what's wrong? You are my guest and you're crying? He said, Rahimallah wa Aba Hanifa. Allah have mercy on Abu Hanifa. He could see with the inner eyes, the eyes of his heart, what we could not see with our normal eyes. He told me, one day the rulers will be feeding you. So I thought he was making a yatim, a young boy, an orphan child happy. So this is what Islam does. When we dedicate our life, Allah will elevate. Even the kings and the rulers will be muhtaj of you. Remember that. But today, who's there to do that? Today, we run behind these people and get disgraced as well. Allah forbid. So remember that that was the greatest student. Then you have Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani. He's buried there. Imam Abu Yusuf is buried in Kazimiyya. I went to Imam Abu Hanifa's grave. I went to his grave also. And that is Imam Abu Yusuf in Kazimiyya. So alhamdulillah, both grave Mubarak we visited. Then the second student of Imam Hanifa is Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani rahimahullah. He's buried in Ray. Ray is a twin city next to Tehran. You go whole of Ray, the people who come from there, you call them Razi. So you can go, the Shia Kufar, they have removed the Naam and Nishan. They have removed everything. There was no sign at all of the great scholars and Muslims names and so forth of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So remember, he's buried there. He's a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He's a student of Imam Malik rahimahullah. That is Imam Abu Yusuf. He's a student, you must remember, of, you know, Imam Muhammad I'm speaking about. So Imam Muhammad is a student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Muhammad is a student of Imam Malik rahimahullah. He's a student of Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. And he's a teacher of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. If you go to Musnad al-Shafi'i, you will find 7 ahadith that in that work of Imam Shafi'i, the name of Imam Muhammad is mentioned. So these two sahibain, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, are called sahibain. So these are the two most great, greatest outstanding students. Then you get Imam Zufar rahimahullah, so very, very famous also. Then you get Imam Hassan bin Ziyad. So these are all many, many students like that. They are, but these are the most famous, you must remember, students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, what are the unique features of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh?
Remember, number one is Imam Abu Hanifa, from a very, very young age, he was a genius. If there's a book in English, and every one of you who do not know Arabic, Urdu, so try and procure a copy, Wonders of Islam. The book's name, Wonders of Islam. In there it's written, there was a young boy, a young person, 10 years old. A professor came, remember, to Baghdad, Iraq, and so forth. And he challenged all the senior ulama, and no one could really give, you know, a very satisfactory answer. He would debate with them. So this 10-year-old youngster stood up and said, come, let's set the venue, organize the time, and the public can attend. So the venue was arranged, the time was organized, the public came in their droves, and the professor was standing. Question number one, what is your Allah doing now? Now imagine if somebody comes and asks us a question like that. So he, this youngster, told him that you sit down and I'll answer. So he sat down. So then the youngster said, "Watu izzu man tasha, watu zillu man tasha." That Allah gives honor and izzat to whoever he wants. He does graces whoever he wants. So today, now you ask what Allah is doing now. Allah made me stand and he gave me honor. He made you sit and he disgraced you. So that person got a shock. 10-year-old boy answering like that. Their big, big senior ulama couldn't answer this. He said, what's your second question? He said that, where is your Allah? So it wasn't like in our days now. So you must remember, the 10-year-old boy asked, who's got the candle here? So people had, you know, load shedding, whatever those days. So remember, they gave a candle. He lit it up. So ignited it. He asked him, that this 10-year-old boy asked him, that professor, that where is the smoke or the light of the candle, rather say light of the candle. And so he said, it's all direction. He said, Zalim, your oppressor, ordinary candle, if the light is all sides, all directions, then what you asking about, ya Allah, where is he? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Everything belongs to Allah, and wherever you turn your face, so you must remember, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, there you will find the countenance of Allah Jalla Wala. So like that, so people were amazed. 10-year-old youngster. So what a genius is. Who's the 10-year-old boy? He is Nu'man bin Thabit, who subsequently becomes Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Therefore Imam Malik rahimahullah used to say that if Imam Abu Hanifa said, okay, let me give you the story, you'll understand. One day, they didn't meet as yet. Imam Abu Hanifa, in his manaqib and virtues, is mentioned that he performed 55 Hajj. Pirani Pir, Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, also from that part of the world, Iraq, and he performed 50 Hajj. So anyway, Imam Abu Hanifa performed 55 Hajj. So the people told him, one Hajj is compulsory. For what you have to go so many times? He said, Allah mentioned one virtue. For Hajj, for no other ibadah, you will find that. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَا that they can witness the manafi, the nafa, the benefit in this world already. So like that. So anyway, so he went and Imam Malik was teaching, you know. So then after the dars, all the students went away. So he remained there. So Imam Malik asked him, "Min ain? From where you come?" He said, "Ahlul Iraq." So he said, "Iraq." Like. So he said, "Ahlul Iraq, Ahlul Nifaq." So he said, "The people of Iraq, the Munafiq." You see. So it means majority of them because of what they did and so forth and so on. So he kept quiet, Imam Abu Hanifa. So he told him that, "Ustad Sheikh, can I read by you Quran Sharif?" So he said, "Yes, read." So he opened the Quran Sharif and he read. وَمِنْ the Quran says, I read for you the verse now. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرَضُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says that in Medina Munawwara, there are some people that they are persisting, continuing what nifaq and hypocrisy. لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ. You do not know them, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. We know them. So he, Imam Hanifa, because he's a genius, so he read the Quran in front of Imam Malik. So he read. The Quran says, "Wamin ahlil Madina." So he read, "Wamin ahlil Iraq maradu alan nifaq." So Imam Malik said, "You are Abu Hanifa." He said, "Yes." He said, "Only you can think of a thing like this." You see. So straight away he won the whole argument from Quran. You telling me we munafiq, but Quran is saying some people in Medina are hypocrites. So finish the whole. So such a genius he was, you know. If you want to see that verse in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 101. So remember that as well. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was a genius, there's no doubt. So what are the khasa'is? What are the unique features? You see, normally when you have a jurist, then you have some students and so forth. He didn't have that. He had a shura, 40-man shura. So what was that? Somebody was a mufassir, somebody was a muhaddith, somebody was a faqih, somebody was an adib. In every field, they were masters sitting there. And then the debate, the discussion would take place. What you say of this from hadith, what you say from this about tafsir. Not ignorant people, everyone an expert, par excellence. And then the verdict was given. So therefore, the Hanafi fiqh is based on shura. Shura of everyone who was an expert in his field and so forth. And when you look at the sources which the Hanafis used to use, so primarily it was five sources. Number one, any issue comes, then Quran Sharif. What does Quran Sharif say? Then second, the Sunnah Mubarakah. Qawlun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Fa'lun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the action of the Master Alayhi Salam, the speech of the Master Alayhi Salam, like that. And then remember, they would go to, that is Ijma of Sahaba, especially consensus on what did the Sahaba agree upon. See, Imam Abu Hanifa was asked, Ma, because he lived at the time when there were Shias, there many, many Shias there in Iraq and surrounding. So he said, look at the statement, when he was asked that what are the salient features and signs of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, everyone he mentioned is against the Kuffar Shia. Antufaddila Shaykhain. You must give Shaykhain preference. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Watuhibbal Khatanain. You must love both the son-in-laws. Sayyidina Usman, his son-in-law twice of Nabi alayhi salam. First Sayyidina Ruqayya radiallahu anha, then Sayyidina Umme Kulsum radiallahu anha. And Sayyidina Ali you must love also. Not one only, both. And he was married to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. And then wataral masha ala al-khuffain. And you must consider and believe that masa on the leather socks and synthetic leather is permissible. All three, the Shias, they rejected. Remember that. So see the genius he was. In that way there he mentioned these things there. So first Quran Sharif, second Sunnah, third one the Ijma consensus, especially Sahaba and then others after that. And then fourth one was Qiyas. Qiyas is analogy. See today drugs. You take tuk. People say in Cape Town on this duck fundi tuk. So we fed up with the tuk, you know, is the name of the drugs. So the mandrakes and weed and dacha and whatever you, Allah alone knows, we don't even know. So somebody say, where the dalil for this? So we will say khamar. Khamar is the alcohol. What is the rationale, the illet, the reason? So we will say iskar, to intoxicate. So in these things here, these drugs, they also intoxicate. So the same law will apply of alcohol to the drugs also. So 80 lashes will be given to that person in public. You call that qiyas. And then sometime you must remember the Hanafi school would use istihsan. Istihsan means that you go against the qiyas. You go against the logic and so forth. See, for example, I go tomorrow, you must remember, is a nikah. And for real, is a big nikah tomorrow. You must remember that our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas son is getting married and so forth after Asr. So now I want to make a new kurta. You understand? I'm not going to make obvious steps, just an example. So I want to go to the tailor, the khayyat. So the material is not there, the kurta is not there. Even if the material is there, but the kurta is not there, the thobe is not there. So you must remember, but I pay him up front. You understood? So I paid him 1,000 rand, 500 rand, 100 rand. So I paid him, but what did I get in exchange? Nothing. You understood? So that will be against logic also. So you say it's permissible, istihsanan. So you must remember that. So Hanafis use that quite a lot as well. So that is how the main laws of the Hanafis, and that comes to the other topic you must remember. Therefore, you will get difference of opinion. Like Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he is dead against istihsan. So he says, no, this istihsan is not acceptable and so forth. So they would not take things out from their thumb or from their pocket. Each one of them had dalail and they had proof and so forth. Now take the example I gave. You went, I went, you lady went to the dressmaker, I went to the tailor, and you paid them. But you didn't get anything in exchange. So if you look at it logically, so the deal supposed to be fasid is the defective transaction. But you look at ta'amul. Ta'amul means the regular practice for years and centuries in time of Sahaba and before that and after that and so. So therefore, istihsan, you say, is permissible. So things like that. So you will remember. So therefore, that will result to sometimes difference of opinion among the jurors and the scholars of Islam.
Mufti Saab, why is India and Pakistani filled with ulama mostly from the Hanafi madhab?
So you must remember that it's not only India, Pakistan. So you must remember today, if you say, just round figures we take, so you say there are 7 billion plus people on this earth, and you say it's less, but we just make ourselves happy, you know. You say 1 billion people are Muslim, all the 2 billion and all is very details. So 1 billion are Muslim. Now if you look at the demographics, if you look at the breakdown and so forth, you will find even today, you must remember, the Hanafis are the most as far compared to the Malikis and the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis and so forth. So why is this the reason? So you must remember there are various reasons for this. Primarily there are 3 reasons. So look at the chronological table. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place in the 11th year of the Hijrah. Then Khulafa'i Rashidin, that ended, you must remember, in the year 41. Thereafter, you had the Umayyad dynasty, and they ruled for 90 years. So thereafter, you must remember, then you have the Abbasite dynasty. They were based in Iraq. And there you had Imam Abu Hanifa. There you had Abu Yusuf, his student I just spoke. So he was the chief justice. So remember at that time there that everybody basically was following 525 years plus minus. They ruled the Ummah and majority of the people were following the Hanafi school. So it's not only Indo-Pak, you look at the whole Muslim world basically were following the Hanafi school. So that is one reason. Then you go forward, Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, so he took the works and he wrote. So all the fatawa you will find, they come from Imam Muhammad's books and so forth. Sir-e-Kabir, Sir-e-Saghir, all that, Ziyadat, Mabsood, Jami-ul-Saghir, Jami-ul-Kabir. So this is called the Zahirul Riwayah, the fatwa and so forth. So Imam Abu Yusuf's contribution as Qazi al-Quzat, the Chief Justice, Imam Muhammad rahimahullah's contribution by writing and preserving all these works, and thereafter when you go and you study, then you have the Ottoman Empire, Khilafat Uthmaniyah. Till today you take the Turks, so you must remember majority of them, they're very proud, they're very happy, they can't speak any Arabic, English all, but when you meet them in Makkah, Medina, or they in Istanbul, and you ask Hanafi, you say Hanafi, he's very proud about that, you see, and this type of thing. So remember, they, if you know the history, the Khilafat Uthmaniyah, Ottoman Empire, ruled for 640 years. So all Hanafi fiqh, and there's a great work, Al Majalla, you must remember that. These are works that we have failed the Ummah. All these kind of books should be translated long time into English and so forth. How the law was made for everybody, you must remember. So you had one Khilafat, one ruler, and lo and behold, that is, they had the, so the Abbasid dynasty played a great role, and the Ottoman Empire played a great role, and thereafter you must remember that when our ulama, they went to Makkah, Medina, they came back and so forth, so they would then teach, you must remember, the Hanafi school, and you see today India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all that. So then it filtered on, now you go to UK, and then you come here to South Africa and so forth. Shafi'is and them you will find in the Egypt and all these places, majority. Malikis in West Africa and so forth. The Hanbalis there in the Makkah, Medina and so forth. But remember, if you take it and compare it, they're much less in number compared to the Hanafi school and so forth. And then the Hanafi scholars, mashallah, that they took their Hanafi fiqh and they translated it into so many languages. So that's also another thing, in English and Urdu and Farsi and so many other languages. You just take Hazrat Sheikh's Kitab. It's not a book of fiqh. It's a book of fazail. But you just see how many languages it has been translated. So similarly, that you take the Hanafi fiqh, that, so all those people have easy access to it. So that is how, and that is Allah's system. He chooses whoever He wants to. So that, but we say that all four are on the truth, and al-haqqu bayn al-a'immatil arba'a, that the truth rotates amongst the all four schools. I want to make one statement here, because many a time we are guilty of this. The Grand Mufti of Pakistan, whom we met, mashallah, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahimahullah, he passed away in Shawwal 1976. And if you see the work by his son, Mufti Taqi Usmani, so Takmila Fathil Mulhim. Fathil Mulhim is a commentary of Sahih Muslim. So by written by Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani, he also passed away in Karachi. We used to go to his Qabr Mubarak and so forth. So anyway, that commentary was left incomplete. So he, Mufti Taqi Usmani, completed it. So it's called Takmila Fathil Mulhim. So in the Muqaddama, you will find there is mentioned also that my father used to say, our Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, he was a grand Mufti, one of the greatest jurors India, Pakistan produced, in my humble opinion. So anyway, he said one profound statement which will help us a lot. He used to say, "Kunu Hanafiya." You remain Hanafi. So you can say remain Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Ambali, whatever you are. And Dalum Newcastle, our principal Muqasim Sema Rahimahullah, because majority of the students were Shafi from Cape Town and so forth, he used to tell us, never try and convert them and make them Hanafis. They must go back to their communities. And what a profound statement. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah used to say, "Kunu Hanafiya, wa la taj'alil hadith hadith a Hanafiya. So sometimes even our all ulama, senior ulama, gol mol karke, they'll change the whole meaning of the hadith and say, no, this is the meaning, which is very, very far-fetched. You must remember this. So that's wrong. You must remember. What is wrong, what is wrong? There's no question about it. So we must not turn and twist the meaning of the hadith to suit our mazhab. The mazhab must not become the asal, and we twist the meaning of Quran Sharif or Sunnah Mubarakah. And so, because you must remember, Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykhul Islam, wrote a wonderful book on this topic, Raf'ul Malam an A'immatil A'lam. I have all these books, alhamdulillah. So you must remember, we don't blame any of the jurors. At that time, it's not like today, everything is available, you just press a button and so forth, you come all the hadiths. So one hadith here, one hadith here. So sometime that hadith did not reach them. See Imam Shafi'i, in 199, he left Baghdad, went to Cairo, Egypt, passed away 204. So Imam Shafi'i is known as Sahibul Qawlain. He get two verdicts, Qawl Qadim, Qawl Jadid. So, so many hadiths didn't reach him. When he went to Egypt, then he said, okay, I retract and I pass a new verdict. So same thing with Imam Abu Hanifa and them. 3 days before he passed away, that in Fatawa Imadiyah, and that is written, he said that horse meat is halal. So you must remember these kind of things here, that you don't go and twist and turn the real meaning of the hadith to suit your mazhab. That is wrong to do. And Mufti Shafi's a profound statement.
Alhamdulillah. So we end off on this, and Mufti Saab has a few announcements, so we'll take these few minutes, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That inshallah today we will be in Durban, and our first program, inshallah Aziz, will be at Masjid Hilal, and I'm sure most of you know where it is, there in Overport. And the Isha Salat day is 7:30, and after Isha, inshallah, the program, it will be live, inshallah, on this thing, radio, on Radio Al Ansar International. Merkaz Sahaba will continue as normal from 8 to 10 with Mawlana Arafat and Mawlana Salim Kareem. So that's the first announcement. Tomorrow, Jummah, inshallah, we will be there at the Sufi Masjid, and that will be, inshallah, carried live by Radio Al Ansar International, Sirius FM, and inshallah, Sirius FM, Radio Al Ansar, and Merkaz Sahaba, inshallah, Al Aziz. 12:10 is the Adhan day. So straight after the khutbah, tomorrow's khutbah will be rendered by Sheikh Sudais, and around 10 past 11 South African time. So the khutbah will start. That is for tomorrow. And then 2-3 other important announcements. If you've been to Palestine, now occupied Palestine, then you will know there's a place called Khalilur Rahman. We've been there several times with Allah's help, and they call it Hebron. So when you enter there, you will find that Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam is buried there. Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu salam is buried there. And then Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam is buried there. And their honorable spouses are buried there. That old masjid, I went in 89. I went in 92 with Allah's help. That old masjid is our masjid. Remember this date. Certain things you must make a mental note. It was a Saturday. I still remember vividly, I was in Newcastle. And I switched on the radio to hear the news. And it was the 15th of Ramadan, 1994, here in South Africa. Then it was the 16th of Ramadan. And that morning, Fajr time, Baruch Goldstein, the terrorist, the Zionist, entered the Masjid Khalilur Rahman. And whilst our brothers were reading Salat, he mowed them down. 29, 30 of them became Shuhada, passed away in the Masjid. And remember, then he got killed and all that, dispatched to Jahannam. The Zionist apartheid regime built a big mausoleum for him. So the date is 15 Ramadan by us, South Africa, there 16 Ramadan, Saturday 1994. Further time this incident takes place. Look at the so-called justice of the apartheid rogue terrorist regime of Israel. The masjid is ours. So what they do after this incident, they partition the masjid. The front portion they leave for Muslims, and the back portion, remember, they gave to the Jews. In the past few days, I sent it out today. So you must remember, inshallah, our news team will carry it further. So you must remember that now they took the control of the whole masjid, and they're dancing there, desecrating our masjid, everything. Where are the Arab puppet rulers? Half of them murtad. Where are the Muslim rulers? Just silent. Imagine what a shame. shame and disgrace. Our masjid, they stole half of it. Now they prevent the Muslims and they busy dancing, celebrating right in our masjid, masjid. So tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Wake up, O Ummah, and make special dua for the Haramain Sharifain. There also there are serious issues, and that with the cinemas and that coming up in Medina and so forth. So make special dua that these 10-foot dictators, Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat. If there's no hidayat, Allah decimate, destroy them. Number two, come nearer to home. You must remember in Cape Town, the Cape Town, and that you know is run by the DA. So they passed the law regarding the decibels and all these type of things, you must remember, of, you know, the sound levels and so. So if anybody goes and complains the Adhan is too loud in Cape Town, in Mitchell's Plain, in Grassy Park, wherever, so he's like committing a crime. So we must wake up, O Muslims. Elections are coming near. So you must know what's happening and so forth. So this is again to put pressure on the Muslims. So this is happening in our country. Today, maybe 3, 4 o'clock or so, inshallah, you can just Google it and see that the government is cutting off, you must remember, that the story of hate crime. You speak against the gay community, you speak against the lesbian, you speak against this one. They can say this is a hate crime. So we as Muslims need to wake up, remember. And it's very sad, you know, that the Muslims, we don't even know, we wake up last minute. All these kind of things we should have addressed long time ago. So we must remember that we must be the ones in the forefront and so forth. I sent it long time to our dear lawyers and so forth, that they must take some action. So inshallah, all of you who are listening, I sent it out to all the groups. The email is there. So raise your objections and say, we oppose this hate crime bill and so forth and so on. Any Tom, Dick and Harry, Tom, Dick and Mary can say, no, this person, yeah, he committed the hate crime and so forth and so on. So the all this, if you look at it, the underlying factor is to silence us, you must remember, so that we don't speak against the kufr and shirk and all these type of things. So there, one is the issue of Hebron Khalilur Rahman, one is the DA issue there in Cape Town, one is the national issue about the hate crime, and make dua, Allah Jalla wa Ala accept us all for his deen, and we promote and propagate the deen without fear and favor in inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. And okay, let me just run through the programs, inshallah. 12 o'clock will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and 12 to 1 will be Nabi Idris alayhi salatu salam with Mohana Abdurrahman Saluji, and 1 o'clock Adhan, and thereafter the trip to Free State, the report back, this is a repeat. 1:30 to 2 our archives, from the archives Surah Hud verses 36 to 41, 2 to 3 Madrasa on Aim on Azahid, 3 to 3:30 the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:30 to 4, Shariat ki Hifazat, to protect and preserve the Sharia by Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Azami of Azadwal. 4 to 5, Ulumul Quran, Mufti Yusuf Mangera. 5 to 7 will be our Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. And then 7 to 7:30 will be last week's khutbah, inshallah, of Makkah. And then 7:30 to 8, Mawlana Yunus Patel. And 8 to 10, inshallah, will be Mawlana Arafat and Mawlana Salim Kareem with the discussion.
We say Jazakumullah to all our listeners and to Mufti Sahab. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.